You have your Bibles this morning. You'll notice that passage that the Bible says that Moses went into the presence of the Lord and his face began to shine. Now, I don't believe today that if you spend time with the Lord that your face would literally shine. But I do believe that your countenance can be such that the world and your friends and your family can look at it and say, there's something different about them today. I want you to understand something this morning. I don't want the people in this room. Now, number one, there's a lot of people in Northern Virginia. But the people in this room are special to me. Because we're together in this place. And I want you to be all that God wants you to be. But I can't and won't even try to make you do what is right. I just want to share with you things that you and I can do to shine for Christ. And you have to choose. Nobody can make us do right, but nobody can make us do wrong. It's a choice. But I want this place to be a place of dedicated, genuinely godly people that want to walk with the Lord, that want to shine. Notice, walk as children of light. Paul is telling the Ephesians, I want you to walk as a child of light. I want you to shine. I want you to shine in your business dealings. I want you to shine for your boss as you work, your work ethic, your spirit. I want you to shine as a husband, as a wife. I want you to shine as young people. But I can't make that happen. All I can do is, sort of like a coach does, come on, I'm pleading with you. Do it this way. Do it this way. You can do it. Everybody in this room can shine. But you have to choose to shine. And I want you to see, I looked at Moses' life. I went back through it and I spent some time studying out Moses' life. And I see some things that even in my own life, Lord, I want to fix some things. I want to shine for you. Lord, I want you to be pleased with me and I want to make a difference. Let me just say this to you. When you get close to the end of your life, and I'm not close. I just want you to understand, young people, I'm not close, okay? I got a long time to go. My dad's 88. And so I've got 26 years to go. That's a long time because I'm going to beat him. And so he's got another probably 10, 15 years. I don't know. But I want to serve the Lord every day that I live. But I want the Lord to be pleased with me. I don't know any other good reason to stay alive. Because you're not taking anything with you. I mean, you amass a lot of fortune and you put a lot of money in the bank. And you know what? When you die, going to go somebody else. And if you like them, that's a good thing. If you don't, it won't matter. I want you to leave something behind that people say, I want to be like that. But that's a choice. Moses did that. We're still talking about him because he's shown. His face shined to the point where they had to say, could you put a veil over your face? You remind us too much of the Lord. Your face is too bright. You've spent too much time with the Lord. Could you put a veil over your face? And he wore that veil until he went back into the presence of the Lord and he took it off because they both shined. Literally, the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord ought to make every one of us different from your next door neighbor. Not different because you got more money in the bank and you drive a little better car or a little different car. You drive have better clothes. That's got nothing to do with anything. What has everything to do with what's inside here and how you shine through your heart by the Holy Spirit, letting the light shine through your life. Walk as children of light. And that's a choice. Now I want you to notice with me, if you would, that Moses had some unusable works that were revealed in his early days. I want you to notice this. If you have your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2 and verse number 11 and 12. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 11, it came to pass in those days, this is Exodus 2:11. that when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew and one of his brethren, and he looked this way and that way. And anytime you do that, you're about to do something wrong. Anytime before you do something, you look back and forth, you look around, is anybody watching? Remember, the eyes of the Lord in every place, beholding the evil and the good, Proverbs 15:3. He's always watching you. So you can't go like this and look up and figure he's not watching. But that was Moses. He was about to do something that's wrong. And God says, you can't live that way and shine. You can't go to the store and look this way or that way before you do something and expect to shine. You can't get up in the morning and look at your wife and look this way and that way as she's watching and expect to shine. You can't get up in the morning as a teenager and look this way and that way. Is mom coming around? Is dad coming around? You can't live that way and expect to shine. Moses tried it. You'll notice he had some sins that he didn't want anybody to know about. Well, you'll notice the story in verse 12. He looked this way and that way. When he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian. That's a pretty good thing for a man of God, isn't it? He looked this way and looked that way, and he said, I'm going to go kill that guy. He's mistreating my family, my Jewish family. And so he goes over and slays him and hides him in the sand. You'll notice verse number 13. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said unto them that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? So you notice a little bit of arrogance as he goes out. He's in his Egyptian robes. He looks and says, hey, why are you guys fighting? So there's this oversight attitude. He's looking down on them and saying, why are y'all fighting amongst each other? You're brothers. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 14, and they resented it. And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Now, anytime you have that attitude of a prince or a judge, we're in trouble. Anytime you're an older brother and you have the attitude of a prince and a judge over your little sister or your little brother, you're in trouble. You're not going to shine that day. Anytime you go to work thinking, I'm a prince and I'm a judge, I'm going to help everybody else do what's right, you'll not shine. Moses had the attitude. Now, it was built into him because he was Pharaoh's daughter, adopted son. He's Pharaoh's son. Through his daughter. So he's an adopted son through Pharaoh's daughter. So he's in line to be the next Pharaoh, apparently. And so he's been built up. You're somebody. You're somebody. And so he walks out as a prince and a judge and says, what are you guys fighting about? And they said, who made you a judge over us? We have to be so careful. You know, a husband in this room, we're not a prince and a judge over our wives. We're a loving servant. We're to love our wives as Christ loved us. How did Christ love us? He died for us. He sacrificed everything. So we're to be sacrificial toward our wives and wives likewise to their husbands and brothers and sisters to each other. There's no place in Scripture that says we're supposed to fight. It's not condoned. Now, Joseph and his brothers fought, and you see where that got them. But Joseph had to forgive them for it. There's certain things you cannot do and shine. You can't have pride and arrogance. I'm a prince, or I'm a judge, or I'm better than they are, and expect to shine anywhere. Here's the prince of Egypt walks out and simply asks a question, why are you guys fighting? And they looked up and said, who made you a judge over us? You'll never win anybody to Christ. You'll never be able to have an influence on people's lives with the attitude of arrogance. And Moses had that. It was built into him. It was natural. Notice, if you would, not only that, but he had no real direction. Look in verse 15. Now, when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, and Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and sat in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. So he sits down by a well, and he's in the land of Midian. He runs from Pharaoh. He just goes blindly in a direction to get away from Pharaoh. And notice, if you would, in verse 21. And Moses was content to dwell with a man. So he meets a man. He meets this man of Midian, and he sits down by the well, and the daughters take him to this man, and so he sits down, and he looks at Jethro, and he says, I'll just stay with you. You will never, ever make a difference for Jesus Christ unless you have a clear direction. Unless you have a purpose. I want to do something for the Lord. Moses threw it all away, and he says, look, I don't care. I just want to be left alone and live my life in solitude. He was in Midian, way out in the backside of the desert. Just leave me alone. And there are a lot of people who say, let me come into church and sit down. Just leave me alone. Let me sing the songs and just be left alone. You'll never shine. You can be a faithful member. I mean, you can come Sunday morning, Sunday after, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But to shine, that takes something else. That takes a direction. He had some unusable things in his life. And until he got rid of those, he was not going to be used. Now, the Lord allowed his directionless, dark life in the land of Midian for 40 years while he erased some of those things. But notice, not only that, notice some unacceptable weaknesses that he had to deal with, God had to, before he could talk to him. Notice, if you would, in chapter 3 in verse number 5. And so God comes in the presence of this. He's been there for 39, 40 years now. And God has worked on his heart, and he's realized now he's not a prince. He's not a judge. He's now realized he's not much. And without the Lord, he's nothing. And so he walks up and he sees this bush burning. And notice, if you would, what happens. And verse number four, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see it, the bush burning, God called him to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. So you noticed an attitude that he was willing. We're going to get to that in just a second. He was willing. But notice, if you would, in verse number five. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. I see a picture here of having to be taught respect for God. He was going to walk right over to the burning bush, and the Lord said, stop. The place where you're standing is holy ground. You know, there has to be a place in our life where we realize is holy ground. We go to meet the Lord. And it's a place when we go to meet with Him, our heart changes and our spirit changes, and we submit ourselves and say, Lord, I'm in your presence. And Lord, I want to show great respect for you and admiration for you. I'm not sure many Christians have that place. We pray on the way to work as we're drinking our coffee and driving our cars, but we don't have that place. Well, we have such respect and awe of God, we try to block things out. In Matthew, it's called a closet. In this place, God had to remind him, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. I would remind us today, God had to get him to understand. Now, he's already been broken down, but he doesn't have the respect for God. It's an unacceptable weakness. Do we have a respect for God that when we say, Father, we shut everything else out and say, Lord, I want to give you my undivided attention. That's respect. It's not respect. How many of you have ever done this? I'm sitting there watching a ball game or watching something go on. My wife says, hey, honey, can I talk to you for a minute? And she rolls up and she's right there beside me. She says, can I talk to you for a second? And I say, sure, what you need? I'm showing great respect, aren't I? What do you need, honey? I'm watching now. Okay. And she says, would you listen to me? I'm listening. And as LeBron goes up for a jam, okay. I'm listening. We do that. We don't set aside this place. When we go into it, we're in the presence of holiness. And I want you to understand this. Very few Christians on this earth have that place. And yet Jesus died to give it to every one of us. Hebrews 6, verse 4. Take your Bibles and turn there. My brain just airlocked. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16. Notice this phrase. In verse 15, Jesus died to give us this privilege, this respect of a holy place. Verse number 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus knows what we're going through. And notice in verse 16, let us therefore, because Jesus knows, because he cares, let us therefore come. This is Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace so we may find grace in the time of need. Help in the time of need. So he said, look, I want you to come boldly to the throne of grace. Did you hear what he said? To the throne. Revelation 4, there's 24 elders and they all fall down their faces before that same throne. That's why there's such respect and awe for our God that when we walk into his presence, we stop everything and say, Lord, it's just you and I. Could I talk with you this morning? Very few Christians take time out of their day regularly to walk into the presence of God. So you know what? We don't shine. Because the shine comes from his presence. The shine doesn't come from us making more money and giving a bigger offering. The shine doesn't come from us singing in the choir. The shine doesn't come from us playing the piano. The shine doesn't come from us preaching God's word. The shine comes from the presence of the Lord. And everybody here in this room, Jesus died to give you that privilege to come into his presence. Let us therefore come boldly. It doesn't mean arrogantly. It means with confidence that he cares for you. Come boldly to the throne of grace. It's a throne that's going to give us more than we deserve. That's what grace is. But very few Christians take advantage of this. It was a weakness in Moses' life. He would walk into the presence of God flippantly. And you know what? I find myself and I'm so embarrassed when I do this. How many have ever been praying, talking with the Lord, and your mind starts wandering? Lord, I'm sorry. I can get so focused for a ball game or for an activity of sorts that I like to do. I can get so focused. I was mowing my grass yesterday. Now, I've got an acreage, and so I've got a zero turn, so it goes about 10, 11 miles an hour, so it'll cut it fast. So I can cut the whole 3 or 4 acres in about 2 hours, 2 hours and a half. But you know, there's certain things that I like about it. I want to cut in straight lines. Anybody ever seen a yard mowed in crooked lines? Looks terrible. I remember, I told you before, when my son, I had neck surgery years ago, probably 35 years ago, and Jeremy was just going into 7th and 8th grade, and Micah, don't tell your dad I told this, okay? But he said, Dad, I'll mow the yard for you. And so he took the mower out, and I had put in special grass in the house I built in Dallas because the lot was, it was about 11,000 square feet. So if you know anything about it, it's about as big as this room, not much bigger. So the front yard was about as big as this choir loft. So it could be mowed very easily. But I put golf course putting green grass there. Now, I hate golf, but I like the look. So I put the golf course grass in there, and I kept it mowed real nice. Well, I hadn't been able to mow it because my neck had been messed up. Had a couple of discs that had to be replaced. And so I had on my neck brace, walked out there, and my son Jeremy said, I'll mow it for you. And he went out there, and he wrote his stinking name in my yard. I went out there, had this neck brace on. Whoa, what's going on? So I'm mowing yesterday, and I got my zero turn, and off in the distance, about 300 yards down the aisle from me, is this fence post, and there's a bunch of fence posts in the back of my neighbor's fence. And so I line up on a fence post, and man, I'm hit a bump here or there, and the bees are flying around me, and I've got my focus right on the fence post. I turn and look back, and there's a perfect straight line. Yes! And I turn around, go back the other way. Perfect straight line. Somebody said something yesterday. I said, just send Michaela out when you're ready to eat lunch, and I'll come in. And they said, well, how do we get your attention? Well, I'm not going to run over my granddaughter. Just have her come out there and wave at me or something. But it was like, well, when you're mowing, it's like you're not going to pay attention. I wished it was that way. He's talking to the Lord. He's not going to pay any attention. We're missing that. Moses wasn't missing it. That's the reason his face shone. But you know what? We get focused on all the wrong things. The fence post to keep a straight line. The ball game to see if he catches it. It was a catch, by the way, in Green Bay. It was a catch. And as I look at it now, you argue and debate about this. We watch. We're focused on things. But we don't focus on the presence of the Lord. Moses, take off your shoes. You're in the presence of the King of Kings. It was a weakness in his life. And I'm afraid it's a weakness in all of our lives. If we're not very careful. Number one, we don't even have a time and place where we plan to meet him. Number two, if we do, we don't block everything else away. And so we walk into his presence and it's just us and him. It's a closet. Now, you know, I think one of the reasons he used the closet was because in Matthew chapter 6 and 7, the reason he used a closet, because you know what? When you go into a closet, there's not much going on. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever gone into your kid's closet or your closet, walked in and closed the door and just heard all the racket going on in there? It's quiet. The clothes are hanging. No distractions. You can just talk with the Lord. That is what he was trying to teach Moses. Take off your shoes. Show respect. You're in the presence of the Lord. Notice, if you would, in verse number 5, and he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And he got it in verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Do you understand what he's doing? He says, you know who this is, Moses? This is the God of your fathers, the God of your grandfathers. It's me. And what does he do? Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. That is what we're missing in our Christian walks. A respect for God. Moses didn't have that. Now, folks, listen to me. You can ignore everything I've said. You can just put that aside and say, well, that was good talking today, but and not reply it to your life. But if you want to shine for the Lord in your home, if you want to shine at work, then you've got to have a place where you go and meet with the Lord. And he is the only reason you're there. And there's a place of respect. And you come in on meeting with the creator of all the universe. And it's just he and I. And I've got to pay attention, Lord. I want you to be first in my life. I want you to notice something. I didn't notice it till this week. If you have your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. Excuse me, chapter number 10. Notice with me, if you would, Hebrews 11. I was right the first time. Hebrews 11. Notice with me, if you would, Hebrews 11. And we're going to look at now Moses' uncommon walk. Was a joy to the Lord. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 24. Hebrews 11, 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years. Now, when do you think that was? When did Moses come to years? Well, he came to years whenever he started to go out to the villages and see the Israelites. He had come to years. Well, notice, if you would, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So, in other words, he's already in his heart not wanting to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But notice, if you would, in verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. This happened some point in his life while he's still in Egypt. While he's still arrogant. While he still hasn't been taught to spend time with the Lord. While he's still a prince and a judge. He wanted to do what was right. He made the right choice. And, you know, there's a lot of things you and I can do, but the first thing we've got to do is make the right choice. I want Him over everything else. Have you made that choice yet? I want Him over everything else. Now, that doesn't mean we're great Christians are just making that choice. There's a lot of ball players that say, I want to be a great cornerback or a great quarterback, but they don't follow up the choice with effort. Moses did. Notice with me, if you would, he made a choice. And you'll notice this. Look over back, if you would, and back in Exodus chapter 32. Notice this, Exodus 32. And you'll see some of the things that had changed in his life. Exodus 32. Notice this in verse number 30. Exodus 32 and verse 30. In verse 29, he says, this is Exodus 32, 29. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. In verse 30, and it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up to the Lord. Peradventure, I shall make an atonement for your sin. You know what he was planning on doing? Offering himself. So he's so changed that he said, Lord, I give you me. He made a choice, Lord, I want to serve you, but now he makes a choice to surrender all. So, Lord, I give you me. Notice what he does in verse number 31. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, O Lord, this people has sinned a great sin and made them gods of gold. Verse 32, yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin, and the only dash in the Bible, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. I'm willing to go to hell and pay for their sins. God said, no. Do you notice the difference in compassion? I care about others more than myself. Moses had changed. He'd become a completely different person. I want you to notice this. Look in chapter 6 with me, if you would. This is Exodus chapter 6. We'll go quickly and I'll be done. But notice chapter 6 in verse number 29. Notice this. He learned to pray. He learned to talk to the Lord about things. Exodus chapter 6. Look, if you would, in verse number 9. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto the Moses, for the anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. And look in verse 12. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. You know what happened? When he faced a problem, he went back to the Lord and said, Lord, could I talk to you for a minute? The children of Israel are not listening. What do you want me to do? He learned to take his problems to the Lord. That's a big step. Have we learned that today? You'll never shine unless you learn to depend upon the Lord. And Moses learned that. He had a compassionate heart. He made a choice. He had a compassionate heart. He learned to depend upon the Lord. And I want you to notice quickly this last thing. If you have your Bible, turn to Exodus 33 and verse 11. Exodus 33 and verse 11. Notice with you if you would. Verse 10, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. Now keep in mind, they worship. Now listen very carefully. They worship. They've gotten their tent doors and they worship the Lord. But there's even a difference in worshiping and shining. Notice what it is. Verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. You and I have to become the friend of God. That's what it takes to shine. To become the friend of God. Now, when you become a friend of God, you exclude all the other friends of this world. You begin to say, Lord, I want you more than anything else in the world. And when you see people that do what's wrong, there's a compassion for them. There's a compassion. There's a burden for them. You're willing to give up yourself for them, but you've chosen not the things of the world, but Lord, I've chosen you. But you follow that up with a growth of compassion, and you follow that up with a trust in your prayer life. And finally, you follow it all up by saying, Lord, I want to be your friend. friend, could I get close to you? Peter learned exactly the same lesson. Jesus said, he's got all of his disciples there. He said, I'm going to have to die one of these days to pay for your sin, the sin of the world. And Peter looked at him and says, oh, far be it from you, Lord. You can't die for us. We can't have that. You're going to be our king. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. No, Satan's using you, Peter. And so Peter, you know, I want to walk on the water, Lord, if it's you. And he jumps out of the boat and walks on the water and loses his faith and he begins to sink. And then one day, Jesus said, look, now I got him in the garden. And he said, I'm getting ready to die. And all of a sudden, Judas shows up and they begin to have their swords and spears and sticks. And they take Jesus and everybody runs for their lives. And Peter kind of follows afar off and hangs around. And he's recognized the first time, no, it's not me. Second time, no, it's not me. Third time, your speech. Everybody's telling dirty jokes. Everybody's saying things. And your speech proves you're not, you're with them. And he begins to curse and to swear because he hadn't learned to shine. He was with Christ, but not his friend. He was not, Lord, I'll do anything you want. Listen very carefully. When you fall in love with someone, you do whatever they need to do. I want you to know this. I come to church regularly, and I would if it wasn't my job. When I was a plumber, I came to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night because I wanted to learn as much about God as I could. I wanted to come and have a place where I could worship Him, where I could learn about Him, where I could talk to Him. I came forward at the altar and talked with Him. I considered this as a holy place. There were two holy places in my life, in my bedroom and in this place. And when the invitation was given, I forgot anybody else was in the room. And I came to this place and I talked to the Lord. And there are so many Christians that have no place. They have no closet. So they can't shine. Yes, singing is worship. Yes, tithing is worship. Yes, doing these things are worship. But there's a difference between that and being a friend of God. God needs some friends this morning if we're going to shine. And Peter learned that lesson. Jesus had to say this. After his resurrection, he goes to some of the ladies that are there at the tomb, and he says, look, tell the disciples I'll meet them at that designated place where we had. And he says, and tell Peter. You know why? Peter had been broken. He had failed the Lord, and he knew it. And Jesus spoke more to Peter the next time he talked to him than anybody else. Peter, feed my sheep. You read that passage, he used the word phileo instead of agape because agape is a deep love. Phileo is a shallow love. And Peter kept saying, I phileo you. And the Lord says, but I love you. Do you love me? Do you agape me? And finally he said, okay, Lord, I just phileo you. I don't love you like I should. His whole life changed. He realized what it meant to become a friend of God. Today, have you figured out what it means to become a friend of God? Maybe there's some unusable works in your life. Pride and disobedience, arrogance. You're a prince or a judge. Maybe there's some unacceptable weaknesses. You don't trust Him. You handle things without talking to Him. But you can have an uncommon walk. You can walk as a children of light. But we have to realize you've got to have a place where you're in the presence of the Lord. You take off your shoes up here. And you block out everything else. Lord, could I talk to you this morning? Or we can't be the friend of God. This morning, is He first? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. I want you to be blessed this morning, but I want your greatest blessing to be His presence. this morning? Are you the friend of God? Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. I'll ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Maybe you're here today. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You said, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'd like to get that settled. Could I encourage you to come this morning? Maybe you've been saved, but let me ask you this question. Are you a friend of God? Do you shine this morning? Does the world see you as shining? Folks, I don't want you to just be a good Christian. I want you to be a friend of God. There's a difference. And it's having that holy place. It's learning the place where He is holy ground. Do we have that place this morning? I'm going to ask just a moment. We'll stand to sing and we'll sing a verse of page 390, I Surrender All, if you need to come this morning. Could I encourage you to just step out of your seat and you come talk to the Lord this morning. Make this place a holy place, holy ground this morning at the front. Please, could I ask you to block everything else out and do what the Lord Jesus wants you to do this morning? Could I ask you to leave this morning with your heart shining? Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ. Maybe you're here today and need to be a part of our church. You step out of your seat and come. If you need to be baptized, you step out of your seat and come. Whatever the need is this morning, do what God wants you to do this morning. Lord Jesus, would you speak to our hearts this morning? Lord, teach us what it means to stand in holy ground. Lord, teach us what it means to be your friend. And Father, I pray that you'd help everybody in this room that does not know you as Savior to come and get it settled this morning. Dear Holy Spirit, would you move among us this morning as only you can? Lord, help there to be some people in this room this morning that leave shining for your sake. In your name we pray. Amen.